Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Got a hell of a car wreck story for you coming up at 1 o'clock. Thought you'd appreciate that. But right now, as always on Wednesdays at this time, it is time for the Texas Rangers Manager Show. Segments brought to you by state-of-the-art weight loss and the Frankels at 1-800-LAWYERS. And Woody is presented by City Credit Union and the Rangers Reward Fan Card. And here he is, the Rangers Manager, Chris Woodward, here on the Fan. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing good, thanks. So, you know, winners of 13 of 19, you lose last night, but it was an incredible almost comeback victory. That's quite a roller coaster. How you feeling with that?
Yeah, that would have been amazing. I told our unfortunately, we went for the 1 point instead of the 2 point conversion in the ninth inning. You know, I told our hitting guys, hey, just get the tying run to the plate, and we'll find a way.
So,
unfortunately, we came up one pitch short.
What's it like early on in those games as a manager? You know, your guys battled back. Obviously, they didn't give up. But is it super frustrating or stressful, or is it just like any other game of 162 that you have to take in stride?
No, you got to take it in stride. Obviously, you're trying to do the best you can without burning the bullpen, and there's a lot of factors that go into that. But you know, the thing is, you got to trust all your guys. And you know, we had some pretty good innings late by some guys that, you know, probably otherwise wouldn't maybe have been in there. So it's nice to get a look at all of our bullpen guys. And I thought Brett Martin did a really good job. Shelby actually did a really good job. Unfortunately, I had to kind of ask them to do a little more than I wanted. But, no, I mean, it is one of 162, and there will be days like that. And, you know, I'm just really proud of our guys for not giving in, and, you know, they fought to the end.
Woody, Drew Smyly, ERA at 7.93 now. He's been hit really hard the last couple of times out. That spot in the rotation, how do you either work with him or look at that spot moving forward?
I think we're always kind of looking at everything, and you know, we'll talk, you know, as a staff and just see what makes the most sense. I can't really say today, you know, what we'll do, but it is something, you know, we're always kind of looking at and seeing, like I said, what makes the most sense for our ball club. And I know he's been struggling a little bit. You know, we've had good conversations with him, and I don't know if it's necessarily you know, coming off Tommy John. You know, it, some guys bounce back quicker than others, and you know, maybe his life isn't there yet. He's kind of been just inconsistent, and yesterday you could tell his command was off. So it's one of those things where we got to just keep addressing it and keep identifying what some solutions are to help him. And if, you know, if we're going to make a decision to go with somebody else in that spot, then, you know, we'll address that when we can.
Woody, my last year to play in the major leagues was 2007, and I know at the opening of series we would have a meeting, and then you really wouldn't have another meeting during that series. And from what I understand, there's more meetings now in baseball. Can you give us an idea of now in, like, today's the second day against the Baltimore Orioles that – you know, you'll kind of have some mini meetings, what those meetings are about after having the opening series meeting?
Yeah, no, you're right. I always thought that was bizarre. You know, whenever I sat in the first big league meeting, we literally discussed everything as a staff and as a group of players, you know, from how we're going to pitch guys, how we're going to defend guys. And it was so basic, I thought, you know, back in the day, just, you know, hard in, soft away. This guy throws a fastball and a two seamer, and you know, we can be so much more precise now in what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I felt from day one, you know, I've always wanted to have a hitters meeting every day. I never understood why the first day of a series we discussed their starter, and then the next 2 days we just go around and individually talk about it. You know, I think every day we have a chance to win a Major League Baseball game. And if we don't, I feel like if we don't do those things on a daily basis, if we don't talk as a group and how we're going to actually compete against that guy tonight, then, you know, you're losing out on possibly something that you can, you know, collaborate and learn from one another or decide on a game plan and how to attack this guy. So that was something that, you know, I felt pretty dearly about, really, really strongly convicted about, that we need to do that on a daily basis. And I know the pitchers do that every day. They do the same thing, basically kind of going over, you know, what we did the day before, or how we're going to attack differently today based on what we saw the night before. So, you know, it's one of those things where we always took it for granted is because we play so many games, oh, we don't have time to do that in our day. I think that's nonsense because, you know, 15 minutes out of your day, you know how much time guys spend at the ballpark now. They get there at, you know, 1 o'clock. They have all day. I mean, most of the day, there's, you know, most locker rooms, guys are spending most of their time on their phone. we have plenty of time in the day to do that. It's not overwhelming. I just wanted to create an atmosphere and a culture where that became the norm. And I know not a lot of other teams do it that way. So, you know, I feel like it's some way that we can create an advantage.
The other thing, too, about kind of what is happening with technology of baseball, I was reading this article a few weeks ago, and it's about kind of the virtual reality of watching pitchers pitch. And so you're not taking batting practice, but you're seeing this virtual reality thing where you might have, like, a stick in your hand. You're not, like, swinging the stick, but you're trying to maybe do your timing off of virtual reality. And I believe the Dodgers were mentioned as one of the four major teams that have that program or that computer or whatever that you can go into. Do you know about that? And are the Rangers using any of that virtual reality stuff?
We looked into it. It was something, you know, there's pros and cons to that because the idea behind it, and I've looked at it. We've had our sports science people look into it and, you know, see what the best one is. Because if it's not a good system, if it's not a quality, you know, VR unit, then it could actually be counterproductive because of the, you know, what you think you're seeing doesn't really match up to what's actually going to be out there. I think it'll help, but, you know, we got to make sure that we're getting not only something that can help our guys, but maybe the best that can help our guys. But we've looked into it. Yeah, we've had guys kind of test it out. I know in spring training, you know, we had some people come in and show us some equipment, but I think that that's definitely something that, you know, moving forward may, you know, we're looking into the pricing of it all and everything from a budget standpoint, but there are so many other things that we can do also to help, you know, with that, in knowing that, like, if your fastball plays this way, we can actually train to hit that, you know, in the cage. We can actually set up our machines and everything to basically be identical. We can set up our BP to, you know, we talked about this the other day, and actually Tingler brought this up, which was great, where, you know, if we're a certain amount of distance away based on your fastball and how it plays, you know, we could set up, you know, BP at 35 feet and offset just a little bit if you're coming from the first base side to where our hitters, you know, reaction time is basically the same as it would be against that pitcher that night. And that's just something that gives you a little, maybe a, you know, a hundredth of a second, you know, advantage to be able to square them up that night. And, you know, any little advantage obviously helps and, you know, and all that.
What can you tell us? It's Chris Woodward Show here on The Fan. What can you tell us about, you know, your thoughts on the draft? 9 of the first 10 guys were college players instead of high school guys. A couple of third basemen there with the first couple of picks. How much of this are you paying attention to as you're in the midst of, you know, trying to win games?
Yeah, I definitely was. I went up to the war room a few times, and it was interesting just sitting in on the process and listening to them communicate. And obviously, I don't have the understanding of these players like they do. They have done an amazing amount of research, and, you know, they're talking about two specific players out of thousands. You know, who would they take, and this guy and that guy? And it's amazing how much time they spend up there together, and there's 30, 40 people up there. But yeah, I mean, I try to keep a close eye on, you know, who we're taking and why we're taking them and what they represent. And it's important. It's important to, you know, for me to understand and for our front office to understand what I want out of a player and vice versa. So it's, I thought we did a good job. I mean, you never know. Certain players turn out to be better and some players don't turn out to be as good. So I do like the idea of getting the college bats ahead of the high school bats, not just because they'll be here quicker, but I think they're over, you know, the course of the history of, you know, the draft, most college bats are a little bit more productive and actually in the big leagues. So hopefully a couple of these guys turn out to be pretty productive and they can help us soon.
What kind of traits, you know, both on the field and then maybe, you know, between the ears are you specifically looking for when the Rangers ask you for your thoughts on the kind of traits that you want on your team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the guy that's like coachability is probably number one for me. Talent, you know, part of being talented is being coachable and being able to adapt and learn. You know, a lot of these guys are taught by high school or college coaches that, you know, have a certain way about the way they teach, and, you know, maybe their culture and their atmosphere is a little different than the pro, you know, atmosphere and what they're expecting their players. And so when you start digging into, like, you know, biomechanics and how the body moves, and if we can make them more efficient and they're able to adapt to that and they're able to adjust to, like, minor adjustments and make those adjustments, that's what I want to see. And, you know, you obviously see the talent. You see the talent with some of the players and their power, their raw just hit ability. you know, ball, bat-to-ball skills. Those are things, obviously, that are important. But at the same time, like, between the ears, and guys that are able to make those adjustments, you know, consistently, and then you just see the improvement, you know, over the course of a number of years, they become really, really good big league players.
Woody, and I know your situation was a lot different. The rules in 1994 when you were drafted in the 54th round out of high school, and I don't know your signing bonus. I don't ask for you to give that to us, but usually when you're drafted that low, not many people care about your progress. You're going to have to really make it on your own. There's nobody kind of linked to you that is really hoping that you make it because of how much money you got out of high school or out of college. So can you kind of, the guys that are getting drafted today, rounds kind of 11 through 40, are kind of the guys that aren't going to get a whole bunch of money and are going to really have to fight and claw for all their opportunities. Can you speak about how you had to fight and claw those years in the minor leagues to make it to the majors?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's something that, as long, and I always tell guys, as long as you have a uniform on, honestly, I've seen too many guys. And I was lucky because I, you know, I signed actually after my junior college year, and I had a really good junior college year. So I signed. They didn't treat me like a 54th rounder.
Okay.
I don't know what round I would have got drafted in, but it wouldn't have been the 54th. But they treated me always great. Like, so it's hard for me to say what it was like to be that guy that didn't get to play every day and all that. They treated me awesome. But I did have to scratch and claw. Like, obviously, you know, from a prospect standpoint, I wasn't regarded as, you know, top 10 prospect or anything like that. So I definitely had to fight a little harder than most. But I think, you know, that's what makes guys, you see the true personality in guys, and you see who can really handle it, who can't. Some of the, you know, number one picks in the draft, you know, I don't know if they get comfortable or they just, you know, once they have their money, they just kind of, you know, you see the desire, who really desires to be a good player, regardless of how much money they get. Typically, the guy who doesn't get any money has to fight a little harder. So it kind of forces him to work a little harder, maybe have a little chip on their shoulder, throughout their career, and they're always trying to prove people wrong. It's not an unhealthy thing, like, as long as it's not a negative thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's it. A lot of guys prove the game wrong, honestly.
And Woody, I think the one thing about what's different about baseball than to football and basketball, and like he's my buddy, so I can say Danny Peoples was the first round pick in 1996 that I think he probably played against in the minor leagues. And he really didn't make it to the major leagues. He's a good guy, and I've talked to him about it. He said, Mike, after playing at University of Texas and going to the minor leagues, I never really loved it. I knew I was still really good at baseball, but I didn't really love it. So going through the whole process of the minor leagues and the buses and the hotels and all that stuff, and I'm sure you have guys in your head that you can think of guys that were given a lot of money and just didn't really love it, is that's the really tough part about this baseball process, is after you get drafted, it's kind of like you've accomplished one dream, and now you're going to have to go through a little bit of a process here to fight through a lot of kind of trash to make it to the gold, and that's the major leagues.
Yeah, and that's you know, I think back, and I'm not going to say, you know, back in my day, but
right,
we didn't have all the technology that we have now. So on bus trips, we literally had nothing. You know, I think we had Walkmans maybe were around back then with cassette tapes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, now and then they got movies loaded on iPads, and, you know, you got Beats headphones that'll last you for 7 hours. So it's a little different now. Guys are, you know, they have it a little bit, I would say a little bit easier. It's a little bit more comfort in the minor leagues. Most teams now supply their teams with, you know, food, with good food, because they finally realize that, hey, these are our top prospects that we've invested millions in. We're not going to allow them to eat at, you know, a gas station after the game. So that, those are things that, like, guys nowadays seem to have it a little bit easier. But, yeah, it's a grind, man. Like, honestly, it's one of the hardest things you can go through, and it's not as glorious as people, you know, make it out to be. But I think that's the beauty of it. That's the reward when you do make it and when you do fight and scratch and claw to get there. And then to stay there, obviously, is really, really difficult. You get a taste of it, and you're like, oh, man, this is nice. This is a good life. And then you get your legs cut out from under you because the league is tough. I think that's the beauty of it. That's the reward when you do make it and when you do fight and scratch and claw to get there. And then to stay there, obviously, is really, really difficult. You get a taste of it, and you're like, oh, man, this is nice. This is a good life. And then you get your legs cut out from under you because the league is tough. And then now you got to scratch and claw to stay there and get back there, or whatever you're drawing, you know, whatever the situation may be. But it's a beautiful game, man. It's honestly, it teaches you so much about just life.
Great stuff as always. Let's stay dry tonight and then give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. The Chris Woodward Show, brought to you by City Credit Union.